Hey guys, it's Tom with Watchman River. Thanks for joining me today. It's another great day that the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it as we await this pre-tribulation rapture of the church. I got a lot of stuff to cover. I don't even have time to recommend a snack. Ooh, but if I did, it would be hot rye toast with peanut butter and coffee. It's a great combination, but I don't have time for that. Let's get to scripture. I want to read some Praise the Lord scriptures today, okay? And then we'll get into the serious stuff of what's going on, because I'll probably call this video something like, if this is true, things about to get real, something like that. But let's get to scripture first. Let's go to Isaiah 25, verse 1. O Lord, you are my God. I will exalt you. I will praise your name, for you have done wonderful things. Your counsels of old are faithfulness and truth. Amen. Yes, they are. Psalm 150, verse 6, one of my favorite psalms. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I love that. Psalm 63, verses 3 and 4. Because your loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise you. Thus, I will bless you while I live. I will lift up my hands in your name. That's beautiful. Have you ever done that? Have you ever lifted up your hands in his name? Just in a quiet place? He is good. Let's go to Psalm 28, verse 7. The Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusted in him, and I am helped. Therefore, my heart greatly rejoices, and with my song I will praise him. I love that. I love that. Let's go to Psalm 103, verse 1. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Let's do a couple more. Psalm 9, verse 1. I will praise you, O Lord. With my whole heart, I will tell of your marvelous works. Beautiful. Psalm 145, verse 3. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable. That gives me hope and joy that his greatness is unsearchable. It's just, well, that you can't measure it. Let's do one more. Psalm 139, verses 13 and 14. For you formed my inward parts. You covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works, and that my soul knows very well. Man, we serve a really incredible God, the Most High God, who sent his only begotten Son, Jesus, to pay for our sins with his blood. Doesn't get better than that. Does not get better than that. Okay, here we go. If this is true, things are going to be getting real. I mean, this is one of those things that I'm going to tell you that doesn't surprise me, but just hearing someone admit it is the surprising thing. This broke yesterday. Iranian lawmaker declares Tehran obtained nuclear bombs. Biden faces criticism for failing to impose pressure campaign on Iran as it races towards a nuclear weapon. It said, after the head of the United Nations Atomic Watchdog Agency warned that Iran has enough uranium to produce several nuclear bombs, how many times did we hear this over the last few years? A firebrand Iranian lawmaker declared on Friday that the Islamic Republic of Iran possesses atomic weapons. Does that surprise you? If we find out for sure that Iran has nukes, would that surprise you? Wouldn't surprise me. Come on, we've given enough money to, they could build an empire of nuclear bombs. In my opinion, we have achieved nuclear weapons, but we do not announce it. It means our policy is to possess nuclear bombs. I thought they told us for 30 years they don't want to possess nuclear bombs. This is for, we want nuclear energy to power our country. Remember? Anyway, it means our policy is to possess nuclear bombs, but our declared policy is currently within the framework of the JCPOA. Ahmad Berkashah Ardastani told the Iran-based outlet Raad 24 on Friday, according to an article published by the independent news organization Iran International in London. So they say, you know, our policy is to lie about it. Like, we're not going to tell you we have them. We're going to keep telling you we don't have them, but we've got them. This is just, do you realize, like, now look, Israel didn't find out anything new with this announcement. Israel knows exactly if they have or they don't have the nukes. But it definitely puts pressure when you hear that, because then you're like, all right, so the proxies are surrounding Israel. So if the proxies start simultaneously, like, you know, popping off and going after Israel, Iran could go, let's just do a little nuke. You know, do I think that's going to happen? No, because God's hand is on that nation. And as of May 14th, 1948, when they became a nation in one day, fulfilling Bible prophecy, God's hand is on that nation. They're not going to get nuked. They're not going to be destroyed. You can screenshot that, you know, save this video, because a lot of people are like, Israel's days are numbered. They're just about done. Look at how many people around the world are against them. Look at how many rockets are surrounding them. The Most High God is going to step in, and it's going to be a sorry day for their enemies. I'll leave it at that. From another, from Seven Israel National News, it just says, Iranian lawmaker claims we already have nuclear weapons. And they're not officially announcing it. You know, they're going to need a little picnic for that. Some cookies, a little picnic basket, deli platter. Then they'll announce it. But, you know, we're living in very serious times. But you know what? Jesus is coming soon. We're in the very last days. I'm reading this stuff, the stuff I'm about to get to, and I'm reading all of it going, I don't understand how anyone could think the rapture is 2 years away, 5 years away, 50 years away. Some people say hundreds of years away. I don't get it. I read this stuff and it's serious, and I read it with a sober mind, and I'm reading it with a sound mind, and I'm going, Lord, we're in the season. Now I get why Paul said he wouldn't have to write to us regarding the times and season. We're in the season. That rapture is happening soon. Not that I'm looking for the date of the rapture, but the 7-year tribulation could start at any time. So I'm looking at that, and I know we're raptured before then. So I'm like, all right, I'm looking up each and every day. Biden's arms embargo on Israel emboldens Hamas missile strikes against the Jewish state, sorry. After President Biden gave his ultimatum of withholding offensive weapons to the Jewish state if Israel were to launch an invasion on Rafah, rocket attacks rained down on Israel on Friday from Rafah, with more rockets fired on Saturday. Hamas launched rockets from Rafah at the southern Israeli city of Beersheba on Friday for the first time since December, as Iranian proxy Hezbollah sent a barrage of rockets into the northern Israel city of Kiryat Shemona, causing a massive fire within the Gaza Strip on Friday. 4 Israeli soldiers were killed. When Israel's enemies detect tension between the United States and its most loyal and steadfast ally in the region, Israel, it emboldens them to attack Israel more and continue with their tactics of using human shields, since they understand that the U.S. will eventually punish Israel for defending itself, regardless of Hamas and Hezbollah's actions. That's exactly what's happening. The more we turn our back on Israel, the more it definitely emboldens Israel's surrounding enemies. Come on. This one right here was just incredible to me. Incredible. Let me just give a disclaimer with this. There are American hostages being held by Hamas, okay? There are American. You'd think an American administration would be looking out for American hostages. But listen to this from Israel Today. There's a report, the U.S. withholding sensitive intelligence on Hamas from Israel. Biden administration is willing to share valuable information regarding the whereabouts of Hamas leaders to stave off invasion of Rafah, but with a price. The Biden administration will share key intelligence with Israel about the whereabouts of Hamas leadership in Gaza if Israel agrees not to go ahead with its military operation in Rafah, according to the Washington Post. It's unbelievable, guys. That is unbelievable. The Biden administration, working urgently to stave off a full-scale Israeli invasion of Rafah, is offering Israel valuable assistance if it holds back, including sensitive intelligence to help the Israeli military pinpoint the location of Hamas leader and find the group's hidden tunnels, according to 4 people familiar with the U.S. offers, said the report. And there's American hostages there. I just don't get why why the U.S. administration, this current administration, seems to be on Hamas's side more than Israel's lately. incredible. Listen to this. This is from Amir Sarfati. He shared this on Telegram. He said, both the Biden administration and Egypt are doing all they can to stop the Rafah maneuver. Why? Egypt will be very embarrassed by what we are going to find underneath the ground. Hundreds of tunnels that were supplying huge amounts of weapons and ammunition to Hamas. America will be embarrassed because it knew all along about it and yet kept quiet. The CIA prefers a weak Israel that depends on the United States armaments. Weak Israel equals strong Hamas. I'm glad we don't have to worry about this. I'm glad the hand of God is on that nation and on those people. We just don't have to worry about it. We don't have to fight God's battles. He won't even have to fight that battle. You know how powerful God is. With the power of his words, he created everything out of nothing. This is from Israel Today. The UN, this is another one. It's just, I'm looking at this stuff this morning thinking like, I can't believe the what the last days look like. The United Nations has finally, after 7 months, admitted that the Hamas-supplied death toll in Gaza is faulty and that far fewer children have died than have been reported until now. This is nothing short of willful deceit. Exactly. The UN knew full well the outrage and anger those original faulty numbers would cause, and it knew they couldn't and shouldn't be entirely trusted. But they went with it anyway, because once you get it out there and you got everyone saying, oh, Israel's committing the G word. Oh, look what Israel's doing. Look at all these dead people. Look at all these dead children. Once it's out there, you can't reel it back in. And they let it go on month after month. When we were telling you that Hamas themselves were saying, well, we can't come up with 10,000 names, but 35,000 people have died, mostly children. And now it says, but the UN legitimized and reported those numbers anyway. And now it wants to excuse itself by shrugging its shoulders. Oh, well. The UN for months spoke authoritatively of the Gaza death toll, but if the fog of war, because that's what they're blaming it on, was preventing them from gathering real evidence and numbers, why speak with such certainty? Yeah, this was in Israel Today. The UN blames the fog of war for major overcounting of Gazan child deaths. It's outrageous that only 7 months later, the United Nations is questioning the Hamas-supplied casualty numbers. Before, they would just run with them. How many is it? Okay, we'll report that. And we'll condemn Israel. All right. This is from Israel Today. Egypt has decided to join South Africa's war crimes campaign against Israel at the International Criminal Court in The Hague. So now Egypt is joining along. We're in the last days. This one, does this surprise you? Listen to this. This is from UN Watch. The UNRWA staff is stealing and selling humanitarian aid, Gazans report. UNRWA staff are stealing aid. They're selling it for profit, while those who report it face reprisals, according to numerous reports published by Palestinians in an UNRWA-related chat room. The post exposed a deep frustration by employees that senior UNRWA employees are engaging in the abuses and that the agency in the abuses, they're doing nothing about it. This comes amid a recent call by UNRWA commissioner for countries to increase direct cash assistance to Gazans because, although there is more food available, it still does not mean that the food is accessible because we're stealing it and selling it. And yet, you know, our tax dollars go to the UNRWA, as do many other countries. Incredible. From 7 Israel National News, tensions escalating on Israel's northern border. There's a lot of activity going on right now. IDF ground forces entered a refugee camp in the northern Gaza Strip once again in an attempt to prevent Hamas from restoring its rule in the camp. Amir Sarfati said, after yesterday's reports that Iran has given a green light to Hezbollah to start a war with Israel, tomorrow, meaning today, Hassan Nasrallah, that's a car passing in front of me in case you're seeing a bunch of lights in my face. Tomorrow, Hassan Nasrallah, who's the leader of Hezbollah, is expected to deliver a speech. Some Arab channels suggest that the terror group is preparing for a surprise on Israel. Well, it won't be much of a surprise if you're telling us that. You know, that's what's going on around Israel today. There you go. Russia. This is from the National Pulse. Russian forces push deeper into Ukraine. Pray for our friends in Russia and Ukraine. We have so many brothers and sisters there. Russian forces persist in making headway across the northern region of Ukraine, according to Sunday morning reports. A series of smaller border settlements are now under Russian control, with Ukrainian soldiers abandoning long-held positions. Today, during heavy fighting, our defenders were forced to withdraw from a few more of their positions, and today another settlement has come completely under Russian control, said Hostri Kartuzi, a Ukrainian Special Forces unit. The Russians are dying in droves, but they are pressing on regardless and succeeding in some areas. Just pray for the people over there, both sides, you know. Someday soon, there will be no more war. Someday soon, we're going to get our new bodies, and Jesus is going to take us home. 7 terrible years are going to happen here. Then we're going to come back, and Jesus is going to set up his kingdom for 1,000 years. I can't wait. I'm so done with war. I'm so done with it. Weather stuff, thousands of homes destroyed, over 300 dead as flash floods ravage northern Afghanistan. I saw a lot of video. That's horrible, horrifying. How much water is there? Said the latest reports confirm 315 deaths and injuries to over 1,600 people. Terrible. Also, a strong 6.4 earthquake hit near the coast of Chiapas, Mexico. That was yesterday. And then a powerful earthquake hit Guatemala. Said no victims reported, so hopefully that stays that way. A powerful earthquake Sunday shook Guatemala near its southwestern border with Mexico, causing some buildings to collapse, but claiming no known victims as of now. The country's National Institute for Seismology reported it was a 6.5 at 5:39 a.m. their time. The last 48 hours, there have been 80 earthquakes over 4.0, 12 over 5.0, and 2 over 6.0. So that's what's going on in the earthquake world. Now, I guess we're going to take a leisurely stroll into Clown World. I might need my Clown World sound effect. Listen to this. This is one of those. You can't figure it out. If you have common sense, just push it aside for a moment. What could go wrong? San Francisco is using tax dollars to buy vodka and beer for homeless alcoholics. The city of San Francisco is using the tax dollars to buy vodka and beer for homeless alcoholics. Who thought this was a good idea? Only the ringmaster of Clown World. I mean, that's just insanity. It's insanity. You want to hear another one that just blew my mind? It blew my mind. The Pentagon doctors claim 7-year-olds can make decisions to be injected with hormones and puberty suppressants. 7-year-olds. The Department of Defense doctors claim 7-year-olds are capable of medical decision-making. I can't get my 13-year-old to decide whether she wants a cheese sandwich or a peanut butter and jelly sandwich. And they're going to give 7-year-olds. They think 7-year-olds are capable of making medical decisions? That's one of the most clowny things I've ever seen in Clown World. And very, very sad. And whoever the parents are, I don't even want to say what I want to say about that. And one more thing. Since when is the Pentagon? Can you get out of people's private lives like that? Can you just step away from this weird stuff you're talking about? It's so weird. We live in clown world, don't we? Now we've got from Business Insider, in the rush to adopt artificial intelligence, ethics and responsibility are taking a back seat at many companies. Really? Does that surprise anyone? Companies are rapidly integrating generative AI technology to boost productivity. Experts, however, are concerned that efforts to manage the risks of AI are lagging. Great combination there. Responsible AI efforts are moving nowhere near as fast as they should be, a BCG senior partner said. Incredible. We risk a sub... You're going to hear some lawnmowers. All the lawn guys just pulled up. We risk a substantial responsibility deficit that could halt AI initiatives before they reach production, or worse, lead to failures that result in unintended societal risks, reputational damage, and regulatory complications if made into production. Sounds like a great world. They're really, you know, while we're raptured out of here, they've got just some beautiful things to look forward to, don't they? Wow. Crazy. All right, let's do a testimony of the day. Margie, I was saved at the age of 12 at church, listening to a guest evangelistic speaker. God's Holy Spirit touched my heart and I cried like a baby. Still to this day at age 74, to think of or hear about our Savior, my tears fall from my eyes because I love him so much. It's beautiful. Let's do another one. Renee, my testimony, I was a traveling children's photographer for JCPenney. When I was 21 years old, I met a waitress at a restaurant who saw me reading my Bible. She invited me to her home, and there was a group of individuals who actually studied the Word of God. My life changed after the first meeting when I became born again. I saw signs, wonders, and miracles when I prayed because I believed I'm a child of God. Now I'm a 65-year-old woman, and I can't wait for the rapture. Thank you for that, Renee. Many are with you regarding that. We can't wait either. Let's do a few comments of the day, okay? Karen, I realized that we were truly in the last days on February 24th, 2022. The lawnmower is coming right by me. You'll see him in a minute. You hear him? I can never find a good time. This time of year, watch. Here he comes. You're going to see him. His name's Ralph. I just made that up. Sorry for the noise. I can't really control this, but it's going to be for a little while. Karen, again, I realized that we were truly in the last days on February 24th, 2022, when the Russia and Ukraine war began, only because I knew that things would only escalate from there to become far worse, of which it has, because evil has taken over. Yeah, you're right, but God. Scary Harry, I'm so tired of being sick. I'm in the hospital and have been for the last 4 weekends. I'm lying in this bed dreaming of my glorified body. I just want to feel good again. I could use some love to get me to the finish line. Harry, we'll pray for you. We'll pray for you. I know you're going to have an incredible body. We're all getting new bodies. And those of you who live with pain, we're not long for this time period. We're in the last days. You just got to hold on. We're close. You got to hold on. Thirza, it's like our Lord is saying, don't be afraid. I am alive and watching. Jesus said many times, do not be afraid. You're right. Yep. Don't let your heart be troubled. Joni, this world has gone insane. Where are the normal people? The normal thinking people? We are in the last days. You're absolutely right about that, Joni. Let's do another one. Maria, October 7th was huge. Nothing will ever be the same again. Maranatha, come Lord Jesus. Amen, Maria. Thank you. Grammy, when I started studying eschatology about 25 years ago, I realized I was in the generation that would see Jesus return. 1948 was the countdown year. Exactly. 1948, we knew. You could officially say Israel became a nation in one day, Jesus is coming soon. This generation will not pass away before Jesus comes back. And 7 years before Jesus comes back and touches his feet down on the Mount of Olives, we are harpazo. We are raptured up to the clouds because the church is not here for the 7 year tribulation. The church is not here. I just have to, because we're in the very last days, I have to keep saying this, and I'm going to say it day after day after day. If you don't know what Jesus did for you, time is running very short to make a decision. And you ask me, well, what's the decision? The decision is, do you want to believe that Jesus paid for your sins with his blood, or do you not want to believe it? Do you want to just say, you know, I'm more good than bad, I'll take my chances on that, or I just don't really believe this. Like, I kind of believe Jesus was good and wise, but he wasn't the Son of God. He didn't resurrect. He didn't, you know. Time is short. Jesus came here from heaven, and he wrapped himself in human flesh, and he was fully God and fully man, and he lived perfectly. He fulfilled the law perfectly. He never sinned once. And the entire time he lived on this earth, he knew he was going to end up shedding his blood, because he came here to die for your sins. He came here to pay the sin debt with his own blood. Jesus paid for your sins, every sin you've ever committed, with his blood. He was nailed to that cross. He died. He was buried. He rose again on the third day. And that's the gospel. The good news, which is what the word gospel means, is that your sins have been paid for by the blood of the Lamb, by God's only begotten Son, Jesus. He paid for your sins with his blood. I know it's graphic. I know it's hard to talk about blood. But my goodness, you know, for people who say, I don't want to believe in a God who would send me to hell, that God sent his only begotten Son to die a horrific death because he loves you, and blood has to be shed. That's how horrible sin is. The only way sin can be forgiven is through blood. And Jesus did that for you willingly. And you have to make a decision. Do I want to believe in that? Or do I want to say, no, I'm more good than bad, I'll take my chances with that. Got to choose Jesus today. Believe in his finished work. If you don't, you're going to end up facing him on judgment day, and he's going to say, away from me, I never knew you. And that is horrifying. I wouldn't wish that on anyone. But now, in the midst of 40 lawnmowers all around me, I'm going to shut the camera off, and I'm going to say a prayer for everyone who watched this video. And if we're not raptured today, and today is a perfectly good day for the rapture, but if not, God willing, I will see you guys tomorrow. I love you guys.